And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be this one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump into Dipper number one. And I think Tony from Piedmont just texted in, and he says, those 13 gold stars, I can imagine how their personal items were taken care, not. So here's the thing. Gold star accountability. That's what I phrase this, because there's nobody who has earned the right more to demand accountability than those who have lost someone in the line of duty. A gold star family is someone who is And I was going to do this more in a minute, but I'll go ahead and say it now. If you're not familiar, here's the thing: there's a traditional flag. It's a rectangular flag about a foot and a half long, and it hangs hangs long ways, and it's got a red border. And in the middle of it, you start off with a blue star. The blue star denotes how many individuals in the family are on deployment, and you hang it. Tradition used to be you hang it on the front door or in the window of your house. To signify to the world that I have a loved one who is downrange. And that blue star signified, and it's possible for a family to have multiple stars on the flag. And the stars, unless you have too many of them, but the stars typically hang in a row. So the one blue star in the center, or it could be two blue stars, one over the other in the center, three, same way. Anyway, if someone dies in the line of duty, typically in the combat zone, if someone dies in the line of duty, that blue star is then turned to a gold star. And that's why you refer to them as gold star families, because they are those who have lost their young man or woman in uniform, and they're letting the world now know, I am now a gold star family. It's a very somber thing, but there it is. That's what it is. Listen, it is 2 years ago this month. 2 years ago this month, that the Biden administration shocked the world by pulling out of Bagram Air Base. I know a bunch of you out there in this audience have been to Bagram. I was there at the beginning of the war, and it was all tent city. I mean, it was just moon dust and tents everywhere, dust was in everything you ate. I mean, it was, but over time, we spent probably hundreds of millions of dollars building out some pretty serious infrastructure. It was where we also had one of our major detention facilities for all the Taliban and Al-Qaeda guys that we took prisoner before we sent them back to Gitmo or whatever. We had very robust facilities there with a huge landing strip. It gave us a great forward presence in that part of the world. Picture where it was. I've said it before, but I'll do it again. Picture where it was, Afghanistan. There in the center south of the country is Bagram. Just south of that, Pakistan. Just to the west of that, Iran. Just to the east of that, China. Just to the north of that, the former Soviet stands like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and the others, and Russia. I mean, you talk about being central to everything that we deal with in the Southwest Asia area. There it was. Well, Biden came in and kind of already shocked everybody by saying, all right, all U.S. troops will be out by September 11th. It was his symbolic way of saying September 11th, 9/11, that's my day. We're all getting out. Biden likes to say, well, Trump is the one who set it all in motion. Trump's the one. He set it all in motion. No, he didn't. Trump was negotiating a withdrawal. The Trump administration had what's known as an events-based withdrawal. Like, we intend to be out of here by a certain time frame, but only if these things have been done. So, hey, Taliban, you're on notice. We're watching you. And if we see this or that happen, we're not leaving. If we see this or this not happen, we're not leaving. That's an events-based withdrawal. That's what makes more sense, because then the enemy knows it has to comply or it has to capitulate. But what did Biden do? Biden came in to set a date. We're going to be gone by 9/11. Gone. Everybody gone. What does that do? That tells your enemy how to plan. That tells them how to go ahead and get ready because, okay, on so-and-so date, they're leaving, man. We can do what we want to do. Guess what also happened, though? Biden shocked the world by, even though he had said September 11th is when we're all leaving, in the dark of night, and I don't mean that, go look it up. I think it was July 1st or July 2nd of 2021. Overnight, without warning, U.S. troops pulled out and abandoned Bagram Airfield. Even the Afghan National Army counterpart who was responsible for part of the security of the prison and the perimeter around Bagram Airfield, he didn't know they were leaving. No warning. They find out all these planes are leaving during the night. U.S. troops just packed up and abandoned a major facility, and everybody was shocked. What that did was it created a downward spiral. Everybody panicked. You had not just U.S. citizens. You had a lot of U.S. citizens, but you also had dual citizens, and you had Western citizenships mixed in the Afghan population. And then you just had Afghans who'd been working with the U.S., and they were freaking out. What just happened? You just abandoned Bagram, like, overnight? Literally overnight. I kid you not. Have you seen any accountability since then? Tell me which one of the generals retired. That's right, none of them. Boomer, get ready with your cricket sound effect, man. I'm going to need it. So could someone please take accountability? Could someone resign your job in actual shame? Is there anybody out there who's going to retire from his post? Nada. Not a one. And so here's the thing, man. This was so bad, and they know it was so bad. They abandoned almost 1,000 or more U.S. citizens who did not have a chance to have an orderly withdrawal. Don't you think it makes sense to get the civilian evacuees out first? I don't know. Maybe. Or how about this? Maybe we recoup all of the extraneous military equipment that we're not sure we want to see fall into the enemy's hands, at least consolidate it in such a way that we can account for it and make sure we know what is worth leaving and what we shouldn't leave. There's an idea. How about this? Maybe we look and make sure that the Afghan national government is not going to capitulate and fall apart. Well, we couldn't have predicted that. Really? You don't think you could have? You completely sucked the air out of their sails. You demoralized them. All that to say, in March of this year, House Republicans, according to the article here on NPR, I went to NPR. House Republicans vowed when they took control of the House of Representatives in the 2022 midterms that they would hold the Biden administration accountable for the fallout from the chaotic withdrawal of all U.S. forces. House Foreign Affairs panel had its first oversight hearing, and they brought in witnesses. One of those was an emotional and very graphic testimony from a young Marine who had been injured in the bombing at Abbey Gate. That's what there was. At the Hamid Karzai International Airport, the Abbey Gate was where everything just became chaos. Lawmakers also heard from a young Army medic who's still haunted by images of trying to save his fellow soldiers. Veterans who scrambled and set up little, evacuation operations to help evacuate Afghan allies and U.S. citizens recounted their frustration with a U.S. government who had in no ability to plan or to help with the problems. It says the exit of U.S. forces and rushed evacuation of allies by the U.S. military as the Afghan government fell and the Taliban regained control has become one of the most damaging periods of President Biden's tenure in office. Chairman Mike McCaul, Republican out of Texas, he said it was a systemic breakdown of the federal government at every level and a stunning failure of leadership by the Biden administration. But the White House insists to this day, this was a tough decision, man. It was a tough decision to end the war in Afghanistan. No, it wasn't. We all wanted to end it. I wanted to end it. I'm a veteran of Afghanistan. We got to get out. 20 years, for the love of God. I understand leaving there, but how you leave is as important as how you got there. Biden didn't learn a thing from the way that they recklessly, during the Obama-Biden administration, yanked U.S. troops out overnight from Iraq and created the vacuum that was filled by ISIS, and we had to go back. Biden didn't learn a thing from that. And then what did he do? He just pulled out overnight and left a vacuum that the Taliban have now filled, and we're seeing a resurgence of terrorist activity in Afghanistan. But this young Marine, his name is Tyler Vargas Andrews, he was a sergeant. He was there that day. They got intel that they believed that a suicide bomber was going to make its way through the crowd. And one did. And he says, and we saw him. We knew it was him. We tried to alert our supervisors. We requested authority to engage. We never got permission. We believe that we were flat out ignored. 13 U.S. service members were killed when the bomb went off, and scores of Afghan civilians were killed. He himself, he says, his abdomen was ripped open. Every inch of his body took ball bearings and shrapnel, and no one ever interviewed him after the attack during the so-called investigation. Not a single person. He says the withdrawal, he's just a sergeant. Just a sergeant, right? Just a sergeant. What would he know? Just a sergeant. Just the backbone of the military. He says the withdrawal was a catastrophe, in my opinion. There was an inexcusable lack of accountability and negligence. And then I'll tell you, too, one of the things it did was it demoralized veterans who had served there. It was hard for me. A retired Lieutenant Colonel, David Scott Mann, founded an organization called Task Force Pineapple that started working to rescue people from who were left behind. He said calls to the VA hotline spiked 81% in the first year after the withdrawal. Folks, I'm telling you, there's been no accountability yet, not a lick, to the extent that I'll say this. Daily Wire has a piece. Chairman Mike McCaul, again, this year, in fact, it was just last week, House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul slammed President Joe Biden for remarks that he made, claiming that he was right about his decision in the way he pulled out of Afghanistan, after his own administration has already admitted they made mistakes. Biden was actually asked, do you admit there were mistakes during the withdrawal and before, by a reporter? His response was the usual incoherence. He says, no. All evidence is coming back that there. Remember what I said about Afghanistan? I said Al-Qaeda would not be there. I said it wouldn't be there. I said we'd get help from the Taliban. And what's happening now? What's going on? Read your press. I was right. He wasn't right. McCaul points out, Taliban is there. And oh, by the way, they haven't been helpful. And oh, by the way, so is Al-Qaeda. And we're seeing more problems. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about Gold Star families and the issues they're facing right now. Those 13 service members, those Gold Star families, some of them didn't even want to meet with President Biden. It was that bad. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. So I'm in this number one of the Triple Dipper. I'll wrap it up here by the top of the hour, but the storyline here is Gold Star accountability. So the Gold Star families right now have about had it with the way that they have been treated. The 13 Gold Star families in the Afghanistan withdrawal, the 13 service members who were killed. Listen, there's a story here on Reuters that came out last summer, and it clearly indicates that the perception is that there has been no accountability, none. It says, as the United States marks the first anniversary, that was last year, of the withdrawal, some U.S. officials and experts say that President Joe Biden's administration has moved on without properly assessing lessons from the 20-year war and the Taliban victory. Nor has there been public accountability for the chaotic evacuation operation that saw 13 U.S. service members killed at the Kabul airport and hundreds of U.S. citizens and tens of thousands of Afghans left behind. The Biden administration portrays the pullout and the extraction as one of the largest airlifts ever, an extraordinary success that wound up with an endless conflict that killed more than 3,500 U.S. and allied foreign troops. Well, it's one of the largest, y'all, listen, it's one of the largest airlifts because of them. You can't go create the problem and then brag about how you solved it. That's not the way this works. That's like, you know, I burned down the house, but man, I put the hose on that last piece and blew it all out. Well, good, but you burned down that. You're the reason why the house burned. Well, in this case, you're the reason why we had to have an airlift, sir. You can't brag about how great you did in the airlift when you're the one who, you're the reason why the airlift existed in the first place. Story here on the Washington Examiner in September of last year, Biden did finally agree to meet with the 13 families. It says, meeting the President of the United States has been both an honor and a sense of comfort throughout history for military families grappling with the loss of a loved one because of the horrors of war. Story on the Washington Examiner. That tradition came to a screeching halt in the past week as nearly half the Gold Star parents who lost their loved ones have publicly excoriated President Biden. This is a year ago. And literally said they don't want him anywhere near him. There were several families that refused to even meet with him at all. There were a couple of families where only one member would go and meet with him. And then to make it worse, I don't know if y'all remember this or not. In fact, I did not recall it this way until I read more than one article. When the 13 service members came home in their flag-draped coffins, Biden and Jill Biden, the First Lady, and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and others stood there by the airplane as they should, as the 13 flag-draped coffins were brought off the plane. You may remember Biden looked at his watch like he had somewhere else to be. What I didn't know until I read this morning is that witnesses say he looked at his watch all 13 times. You'd have a casket brought out. He would look at his watch like he was bothered by the time and needed to be somewhere. I've got a video here. It's a brief one. So the Gold Star families of those 13 fallen are demanding accountability. And like I said before, no one has earned the right more so than those families to request accountability be held. And I've got a video stream. Boom, you give me a thumbs up when you're ready for it. This is just a quick burst. They are saying right now that they are being ignored by the administration and that they have been asking and not even been able to receive the personal effects of their dead loved ones. And even to the extent that apparently the memory cards were taken out of the individual's phones that did get them back, so they don't have the photographs that might have been there of their family, member. Here's just a quick, like a little 1 minute of part of the interview with Jennifer Griffin from Fox News about the situation. Go ahead.
Harris, family members of the 13 service members killed by the Abbey Gate suicide bomber are demanding a renewed investigation following the testimony of a Marine sniper this spring. Fox News spoke with Alicia Lopez, whose 22-year-old son, Corporal Hunter Lopez, was killed on his fifth and final tour outside Abbey Gate. His mother and the other families believe the military did not look at all the evidence.
We just don't want our kids' names to be forgotten. We want accountability.
They went through them and removed the cards that in their phones and in their GoPros and so on. They've denied the families dozens, hundreds, or even thousands of personal, the selfies, the kinds of pictures and videos that a family would want to have when they don't have their loved one.
So, it's unconscionable. At the very least, you owe them an answer. I mean, at the very least, say, it appears that's part of a sensitive investigation and we'll give it back to you when we're done. Or can we give you some of them because some of them are too explicit? Who knows? But you know what? Is it really their call? I don't think so. And nobody, like I said, has earned the right to demand accountability more than those particular families. So here's my call to you right-side ruffians. First of all, know what a Gold Star family is, and I know most of you do already. But know what they are and keep them in mind and pray for them when you think of it. Because those 13, it's bitter. It's a hard thing. Not only did they lose their loved one in war, honorable service to be sure, but it was needless and it was because of a reckless lack of planning. And the second thing is, we cannot let this go by. It's like Benghazi, you know, a few years back in the U.S. Consulate there. We can't just let this thing be swept under the rug. This can't end like this, where, you know, that thing that happened, what was it that happened? I don't remember. Would you remember? Nobody talks about it anymore. It shouldn't be that way. 13 American service members and thousands of Americans were treated recklessly by a Biden administration that refuses to acknowledge that things went the way they did. I'm saying Gold Star accountability, man. Gold Star accountability. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.